This evening, I'd like to offer some reflections on the value of what we're doing here. The purpose and the meaning of what's happening here in the quiet, even if there's a lot going on inside. Just wanting to give some perspective on the merit, the virtue, the beauty that's growing here. And so just as I speak, you might reflect a little on how it's been today, and maybe even over the past week. All of your good efforts, all that it took to get here. Really recognize there's so much intention, so much trust and effort to get here and do this practice, to continue once you've arrived. And that maybe all the content and all the experiences here are less important than the beauty of your intention. Just the strong willingness, the earnestness and sincerity. Just continuing. And staying with, allowing, and opening. And so I want to share with you some passages. This wrinkled old paper I carry with me often. It was given to me in 2001 on my first retreat. A friend gave it to me, and it's a teaching by Khandro Rinpoche, who is one of the very few female Rinpoches, very high teacher in the Tibetan tradition. This is what she says. She says, "One's attitude of retreat is more important than the actual retreat." And she gives this example of a person who says, "I will go into retreat." If such a person were to completely let go of everything at that moment, all their activities, projects, plans, thoughts, the pros and cons, the profit and gain, the responsibilities, simply let go and take 7 steps into the solitude and renunciation of retreat, 7 steps completely free of any grasping, those 7 steps are more precious than sitting for days in retreat with a mind that's unable to let go, thinking of people, what you could have done, other things you should be doing, what happened, what didn't happen, what went right, what didn't go right, and all the other things that come up when one is alone. And so it's not so much the physical boundary, although it's essential, but more important is the attitude with which you go into retreat. And you all have that. And of course, we are sitting here thinking of all the plans and the things we should do and could do and pros and cons. But you've already taken those 7 steps. Your intention is already here. It's already strong. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't be here. And so as we sit quietly, you might reflect on this intention that often goes overlooked, We're so caught in the content of things. Just to reflect on your own sincerity, your motivation, and the goodness of this practice. No matter how you think it's going, just showing up is enough. And how it feels to trust that intention and let it carry you all the way through energy and mindfulness, samadhi and wisdom, all these growing, just carried on the tip of your intention. And as we sit quietly together, you might just let your mind wander back into the events of the day. See if you can recognize that strong intention in you to keep going, to keep showing up. See if you notice different moments throughout the day where all of these qualities are growing and you can see them in you. And then if things get too busy inside, you can just rest in the gap between the end of one thought and the beginning of another. as the evening draws to a close, I have a couple of bedtime stories for you also. This first one is about attitude. It's from a book called The Heart of the World. And it's about a great pilgrimage journey that was taken by a group of Westerners and also Tibetan Rinpoches into the heart of the Himalayan mountains. And so the author is Ian Baker, and he writes about one of the great Tibetan teachers, Rinpoches, who was traveling along with them on this pilgrimage, going into very remote places where not many humans have gone before. So this is told from the perspective of Ian Baker, the Western pilgrim. He says, "Today was particularly bad for me, as the rain would not let up and the leeches were relentless. At one point I counted 22 of them sucking on me at the same time. Sloshing along the muddy trail in the pounding rain, I came upon a large, slimy log that had fallen chest high across our brush-choked path. In my agitated state, I viewed the log as a menacing obstacle that was clearly separate, in my way, and against me. With no way under or around, I jumped, stomach first, and slid over the top. Regaining my balance on the other side, I was infuriated at the mud and decaying mush that seemed to have covered the entire front of my body. Rubbing off the crud, I cursed the log and the goddamned rain. It was my brother Todd who suggested that we wait and see how the Lama would handle this formidable impediment. Surely this test would break him. Hiding off the trail, we peeked through the underbrush, just in time to see him trudge up to the log. Ever smiling, he took a couple of steps back and tried his jump with a running start. With not enough momentum, coupled by a portly belly, he slid back down on the same side of the log and landed on his back in a large puddle. Shaking his rain-drenched head, he burst into spasms of uproarious laughter. Staggering to his feet, he repeated the same maneuver with the same results no less than 3 times. With each collapse back into the puddle, his laughter grew stronger and louder. On his 4th attempt, he made it over the top and slid headlong into the muddy puddle on the other side. Again, the laughter was knee-slapping. Continuing to chuckle, he wiped himself off as best he could, lovingly patted the log as though it were a dear friend, and proceeded up the trail, smiling. Todd and I just stared at each other. So can we have this attitude with all of the logs, the muddy, slimy logs in our path? So everything is our teacher. Can it all be seen as a friend? Okay. I have another story. Is that too many stories? You want another story? Okay, this is just one of my favorite stories in general. It's not at all related, but I'm going to tell it anyway. This one is from a book called How Can I Help? And it's by Ram Dass and Paul Burroughs. And it maybe is some way connected, I think. You know, when we talk about attitude, we're really talking about compassion. Very gentle caring, right? Anukampa. Just caring about our experience, even the obstacles in our path. So this is a story about natural compassion. I was in about 40 feet of water alone. I knew I should not have gone alone, but I was very competent and just took a chance. There was not much current, and the water was so warm and clear and enticing. But when I got a cramp, I realized at once how foolish I was. I was not very alarmed, but was completely doubled up with stomach cramp. I tried to remove my weight belt, but I was so doubled up I could not get to the catch. I was sinking and began to feel more frightened, unable to move. I could see my watch and knew that there was only a little more time on the tank before I would be finished with breathing. I tried to massage my abdomen. I wasn't wearing a wetsuit, but couldn't straighten out and couldn't get to the cramped muscles with my hands. I thought, I can't go like this. I have things to do. I just couldn't die anonymously this way, with no one to even know what happened to me. I called out in my mind, somebody, something, please help me. I was not prepared for what happened. Suddenly, I felt a prodding from behind, under the armpit. I thought, oh no, sharks. I felt real terror and despair. But my arm was being lifted forcibly. Around into my field of vision came an eye, the most marvelous eye I could ever imagine. I swear it was smiling. It was the eye of a big dolphin. Looking into that eye, I knew I was safe. It moved farther forward, nudging under, and hooked its dorsal fin under my armpit with my arm over its back. I relaxed, hugging it, flooded with relief. I felt that the animal was conveying security to me, that it was healing me, as well as lifting me toward the surface. My stomach cramp wimped away as we ascended, and I relaxed with security. But I felt very strongly that it had healed me too. At the surface, it drew me all the way into shore. It took me into water so shallow that I began to be concerned for it, that it would be beached, and I pushed it back a little deeper, where it waited, watching me, I guess to see if I was all right. It felt like another lifetime. When I took off the weight belt and oxygen, I just took everything off and went naked back into the ocean to the dolphin. I felt so light and free and alive, and just wanted to play in the sun and the water in all that freedom. The dolphin took me back out and played around in the water with me. I noticed that there were a lot of dolphins there farther out. After a while, it brought me back to shore. I was very tired then, almost collapsing, and he made sure I was safe in the shallowest water. Then he turned sideways, with one eye looking into mine. We stayed that way for what seemed like a very long time. Timeless, I guess. In a trance, almost. with personal thoughts of the past going through my mind. Then he made just one sound and went out to join the others, and all of them left. So may we all be accompanied by good friends along the path. And as we tuck ourselves into bed, I'm wishing you very sweet dreams of oceans and whales and maybe even some dolphins. Thank you so much for your practice. It's really such a gift. Yeah. Thank you.